I've been aiming to call to Sister Teresa for the last 2 weeks, but it looked like every time I get ready to get on the phone to call her at night, somebody else be done calling me. So I ain't got a chance. She'll be here, won't she?
I'm sure she will. I'll call her this
Okay. afternoon. Just tell her I've been aiming to get in touch with her, but I tell you, I don't know, but hey. I know the devil's been working. He's been working. He don't want us to have it, but guess what? I mean, he can come on in if he wants to, but praise God, when he leaves, he's going to be saved. He ain't going to never bother us no more. Hallelujah. Praise God. But, that's right. All right, I got two cards here I need to read this morning. But the card here says, when you sow seeds in kindness, you reap a harvest of appreciation. To the preacher, Mahan, wife, Shelby, and my church family, for prayers and loving support, flowers, during the time of my sister's passing and our family's sadness, thank you for being a blessing, Sister Huff. Continue praying for the family. I know that they're going to probably sometime want to pick up your phone and call her, but you can call her. She's there. Well, I understand she's there in heaven today, but you can call her. And one thing about it, you won't get no busy signal. You won't get no recording. Won't have to worry about if who's going to pick it up. It's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to pick up the call. And I just thank him for that. Now, got another one here. This one's from Brother Rodney Lee Fry. It's to the church. And it says, we are praying for your Jubilee meeting. How exciting. In 1 John 3:16, love is Christ. Brother Fry and Cheryl Fry, dear Pastor Donald Mahan and Faith Baptist Church family, hello, dear brethren. It was great to be with you Sunday evening and even to have cake and ice cream too. What a blessing. Thank you all so much for the opportunity to report on the Lord's work among the Mapuche people, and thank you for the love, gift, and words of encouragement. God bless you, Brother Rodney and Cheryl. And I tell you what, I understand that they're doing a great work over there. And
Donnie, is he from Argentina?
Yeah.
It just clicked. I hit the answer machine yesterday. It was somebody on there, it was a missionary. I told you it was 2-1. And he's from Argentina.
That's his field.
It was one missionary. It wasn't him, but it was one there. I think wanting to come sometime maybe.
Yeah, I have like 10 or 15 call every month. I mean, I wished it was some way possible that, well, we could take them all on the calls, which you can't, you know, you just can't do it. And the only thing we can do is pray for them. But, and I do thank the Lord for the people at the church and you that are here. Y'all loving missionaries. I can sense it every time they come by that y'all do love them. And we need to continue to pray for all the missionaries that's on the field today. Whether we support them or not, we need to pray for them because they have a hard task ahead of them. But, you know, we don't understand why and how they're really touched by the Lord to go. Because I tell you, I'll be honest and I'll tell you, I don't think it's no way I could go. I mean, you know, the Lord would have to be in there. I'd have to know. I mean, I would have to know that he changed my name from Donnie, Donald, and Don to missionary. And anytime I think about my name, I say, I'm missionary. So, I mean, I tell you, because they are in some places. It took away the comfort of their own home. But they're not worried about that. They worried about the comfort of glory. And they worried about souls being saved. And we hit the local church. We need to support them all that we can. And I know we don't support, we seem like we don't support all that much to them and what we give them. But I've had them to come back and tell me, said, well, preacher, says if we can go into a church where they are, will understand that we will support them and we can they can support us and it doesn't make no difference the money or nothing like that. He said, but really, if they want to support us, $5 a month or whatever. Says then you're more apt to get more churches to support you. And churches that, you know, and he says, I know, well, I talked to one individual. He said, I know missionaries that says, you know, they got to have at least $40, $50 a month. They're looking at it the wrong way. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I want to look here for a moment this morning. And I know that we are about ready to follow into the, starting tomorrow night. But it can start this morning, Jubilee. Now, Jubilee, it means 50. And it means that in that day, all the people, all the Israelite people got together around in 50 years, every 50th year that they'd gather, and they would come in and they would praise and worship the Lord. Well, we've come to that place and we've come to that time today that we must not even look at it at that way. We must look at it as the way that we need to worship the Lord and give Him thanks daily, hourly, minutely, and every second of every day. We need to give Him thanks and praise because if it wasn't for Him, we wasn't able to get up this morning. If it wasn't for Him, I'm not able to even stand here this morning. But I thank God that where He's seen that we needed a touch this morning. Now, I have been told in times past that the doctors has told me, and I've talked to a few of them about it, And they say, well, and they confirm it to what the first one ever told me. They all say, says, when you in at night, when you go to sleep, and when you're in a deep sleep, it's just like being in a comatose state. He says, you're near death during the hours. He's because you really don't know what was going on. And he says, I know some people, they have these dreams and they have dreams and stuff like that. But he says, I don't think it's dreams. And this is what one doctor told me. He says, I tell you. He said, I believe it's what you ate the night before. And he says, and I said, well, I says, it may be true. I don't know. I said, but I know one thing. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in a day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as a minister of God, in much patience and affliction, and in necessity and distress, in stripes, imprisonment, in tumult, in labor, in watching, in fasting, by pureness, by knowledge of long suffering, by kindness, and by the Holy Ghost, by loving unfriends, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the army of righteousness, on the right hand, on the left, by honoring and dishonoring, by the evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastening and not killed, as sorrow, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possession of all things. Our Father, today we want to thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day, the beautiful sunshine that you've given us, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, this morning for the message, God, that you've laid on my heart, Father, that fresh anointing will come down this morning, Lord, in a special way. And Father, and touch these lips of clay. And Father, what will be said unto what the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit wants me to say this morning, Father. Father, we thank you and what you're going to do. And we look forward to the upcoming week. And Father, we look forward to each and every night, each and every preacher that's going to come. And Father, we're looking and we're expecting exciting things to happen this week. And Father, if it does not happen, it's not because of you, Father. It's because of us, because of me, Lord. If I don't feel a stirring in my heart this week, Father, it's not because of you, it's because of me. So, Father, we ask, Lord Jesus, you be with us, lead, guide, and direct us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. When should a person be saved? When should a person be saved? The scripture teaches us that it is important for people to come into the house of God, and for people to sit there and be sensitive unto the Holy Spirit. But when should a person be saved? As soon as possible. They don't need to wait. We have people today that I got some things I need to change in my life. If we got that type of attitude, and if they got that type of attitude, then they'll never get saved. Because they cannot change their lifestyle. They cannot change the way that they are. The only thing that they can do is come and accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and be the Lord of thy life. And as he becomes the Lord of his life, they can go about teaching and learning. And this is where the church, I've seen in times past, and I hope and pray to the Lord that it doesn't happen here, that when an individual comes forth and when he gets saved, that we need to remember, we need to stay in contact with them. Yes, I'd love for them to come to church here. I'd love for them to join a church. I'd love them for them to be committed, not to me, but to be committed to God and what God wants them to do. But that's the only way the people, and especially God's people, is ever going to be happy, is be committed and make a commitment to God. And we don't understand it, but if we don't, how can we know God's will for our life? We need to say, God, here I am, use me. You use me and you make me what I ought to be for you. You open the doors, Father, where only you can open and where no man can close. And then you'll go about, you'll get excited. This time that we're living in, and I'm not talking about today, I'm not talking about tomorrow, I'm not talking about this coming week, I'm talking about the time, that we're living in the state of what the United States and the surrounding world has got. It was a foreign land. I want to say it was Argentina or Australia. I mean Australia or somewhere like that. That they have just passed a law for that particular state, there in that particular country, overwhelmingly, for two men to get married and two women to get married. That is contradictory to what God's word says. And we need to understand that not only that, said we need to be separated. We need not to bow down, and we should not bow down and go in the way the world is going. It says, wherefore, verse 17, it says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. Over there in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. When the evil days come, nor the years draw nigh, and when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I have no pleasure in what's happening today. I am sad this morning to say that the United States and our government officials, they don't fear God anymore. We don't even have preachers anymore that fear God. I can remember at one time that you had preachers out here that they feared God. And if it's City of Danville or the county, Pennsylvania County, if they come about and they say, well, we're going to have this up for a vote in November. Look at R.J. Barber. What did R.J. Barber do? I mean, what did he fight against? He fought against the liquor. He fought against the liquor crowd. He didn't want it passed. But eventually it got passed. Now you could go and buy it anytime, day or night. It don't make no difference. But we don't have preachers today that will speak up for the Lord. But we need to have people that will speak up, not just preachers, but we need to have Christians, born again believers, that will take a stand, that will separate themselves. And that's what the scripture teaches us. The scripture plainly teaches us that we must take a stand. The Lord Jesus Christ, He took a stand for us at Calvary. He took a stand between heaven and the earth. Between what's there in heaven was God the Father and God's angels. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He came down. He left the portals of glory and He came down. And when He came down, He came down for Donnie Mahan. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that He did. Aren't you? I tell you what. And the experience of salvation and the experience of knowing what this book tells us will help us, will prove us. Most people who are saved between the years of 10 and 25. I don't know that back today. It could have been back maybe 20, 25, maybe 30 years ago, 40 years ago. But today it seems like the young people today, they don't want to have anything at all to do with God. They just don't want to affiliate with God any longer. And I think the government's going to have a whole lot to answer on that case right there. Not only the government, but I got a feeling it's a whole lot of parents is going to have to face God with it also. Because what do they want today? What does the parents want? Well, the parents say, I'll make sure that little Susie, she gonna be there in the morning. I'll make sure that little Johnny's there in the morning. But yet, where are the parents? You cannot send your children, doesn't make no difference the age. You cannot send them to church on Sunday morning for Sunday school if they're 2 years old or for 16 or 17 years old. You cannot send them to church in that way
for the church to be able to teach them what God's word says when they go right back home and they live in the same hellhole that they lived all along. And I hate to say it, but that's the way it is. The parents just want to get them away for a while. What about the parents? If you get the parents saved, then the parents is going to have the children in church. That's where it lies. It lies with the parents. And we have a responsibility that God has placed on us. And it's not that God says, well, I'm going to replace this responsibility on you. No, he didn't say that. But he did say this. He says, as a family, as a husband and wife, if you aiming to go about having a family and having children, you need to realize they're your responsibility. It's not the church's responsibility. It's not the government's responsibility. It's your responsibility. And if the people would just come into church, they would just visit the church. And as the Holy Spirit gives them that little twinge that may be in their step or nervousness or maybe they feel like maybe their throat's closing up or something like that. Anytime you feel something different within you, you better check up. Because 9 times out of 10, it's the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, when he speaks to you, you need to listen. And when he says, come, you need to step out. All the individuals has to do is step out by faith into the middle aisle. And if they take that first step of faith into the middle aisle, they ain't got no problem making the rest of the way. Because the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and God the Father, all three there, right there with them, escorting them down to the altar. Now, I've had people come, so we'll preach you. I want you to just come pray for me. I've had it in other churches where people say, well, just come pray for me and everything, since I'm lost and I really don't know anything about being saved, anything. He says, just pray that I'll get saved. I says, you just might as well grab a hold of that pew, put your hands on that pew, and ask that pew. Because it's nothing that I can do. The only thing that I can do is just pray that you will accept the Lord. And I had a preacher one time tell me, he's at the first church he ever pastored. He said he went into the church the first Sunday night, and Wednesday night that week he preached. The next Sunday, had some people to come up. They come up and they shook his hand. And they asked him to pray for him. They wanted to be saved. He said, well, I can pray for your soul. And I can pray for you. But I cannot save you. They said, well, what's that? See, people's got the misconception today that the preacher or another Christian can pray for them and they can be saved.
they'll get saved right then. That's not always the case. But they got the misconception that all they have to do is just come down and shake your preacher's hand and everything's okay. Come down, if you, it means you, if you come down and shake your preacher's hand, you know the preacher, he's okay. He's told us, he's told the congregation that he's saved and everything. He said, now, I'd have come down and I'd have went and I've shook his hand and everything. But this preacher told me, he said, I'll tell you something. He says, if you're expecting yourself to come in and shake my hand and for God to hear you, he says, as far as that is concerned, he said, right across the road is a pastor. And it's a donkey there. He says, you need to leave the church right now and go over there and go across the fence and shake the tail of that donkey. Because this is about as far as you're going to get with man. But when you call on the Lord Jesus Christ, he is right there with us. It says in chapter 20 in the book of John, says in the latter part of it, I like that verse. Well, speaking of Thomas, and he's telling Thomas, he says, Thomas, now thou hast believed. Because you have a thirst, you have took your fist, you have took the palm of your hand, and you have thirsted into my side. And you have believed. But then he says in the next verse, blessed are they that have not seen, but believe. I believe just today, just as I'm standing right here, that this Bible right here is 100% God. I believe right here this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ and what he said he done 100% guaranteed. There's nothing else I hear you can say 100% to. Nothing else. You can say, well, I'm going home after church is over. But you cannot guarantee that you're going to make it. I can't guarantee that I'm going to make it. I could have a heart attack just like that. Between now and going home. But thank the Lord. Thank the Lord, that's what salvation will give you. That's what salvation will bring to you. While God's people are concerned. I'm going to ask this question. Are you concerned today for the lost? Are you? Am I? Do we have a burden down deep in our soul for the lost? If we don't, we need to. If we don't, we need to come to the front and we need to ask God to give us that burden for that lost soul. Because see, the people that went by this church this morning, and probably is probably 50, maybe 75, maybe 100 people, cars and trucks has went by this church this morning. They don't have no concern upon their heart. But we must have the concern that we know what the book says. That yes, you must come. You must be born again. Ye must be born again. And if we see anything at all, or if we know anything at all, with our own Christian heritage. And we got a Christian heritage. As far as I had a grandmother, she loved the Lord. Hey, I remember when it was snowing on Sunday morning. I mean, the road right there would be covered. You know what she done? She got up and she called her son across the road. And he knew that she was going to call him. He says, "Mama, are you calling to tell me you're not going tomorrow?" She says, "No, I'm just calling you, telling you that we need to leave a little early. Because right much snow right there." Thank the Lord he had a four-wheel drive pickup. He took her to church. She was there. She wasn't the only one that was there. It was other people there. Why? Because they fell in love with Jesus. That's when he becomes personal to you. When you fall in love with Jesus. And we all have to fall in love with him. And when we do, then we'll have concern for the way the other people are living. And we need to. We need to have concern to carry out the command that God has given us. And that's right here in the Word of God. He's asked us to give that out. And he's commanded for us to give it out. When this Holy Spirit deals with individuals, no one can be saved without him. No one can be saved without the Holy Spirit, without the presence of the Holy Spirit. He convicts. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who brought conviction to me. I come to know the Holy Spirit before I ever come to know anything about Jesus. Why? Because it was the Holy Spirit who was touching me. He was touching me. He was teaching me what I need to do. And he was telling me the whole time, "Son, today is a day of salvation. You must come today. Because we'll not promise tomorrow. Because tomorrow may never get here. Tomorrow may never, ever come our way again. Come. Holy Spirit, he convicts, calls, and he converts. Not only that, he also preaches. He also does the preaching. If the man of God stands here and allows the Holy Spirit to come in and to do what he wants to do, then he will do the preaching. If the preacher or the pastor would just take and set himself down and just allow the Lord, allow the Holy Spirit to do the preaching. The manifestation of his dealing, a deep sense of guilt. Do you have a deep sense of guilt on your shoulders today that you were supposed to do something this week for the Lord, and you haven't done it. You say, well, I just didn't have time enough. God gives us 168 hours in a week. Push just a few minutes out of our time all week. It's nothing to compare to what Jesus is doing. Do we have the awful fear of our family members dying and going to hell? Do we fear God that much that we know that if we don't live the life before our family? And I'll tell you, you see, your family knows all about us. My family knows all about me. My family knows me when I was, before I got saved. But then, after I got saved, that I need to live the life before my family and before my brothers and before my mother and before all the other individuals that's in my family, that yes, Donnie's changed. I can see that where he don't like to be around us all that much no more. It ain't because he don't care for us. He just don't want to be around us because we drank beer and all of this, and we use a little profanity. He don't want to be around us like that. God's word says, come out from among them, be ye separate. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. We need to make sure that we, if we can't go talk to a family, because we've been to them and we can't talk to them because they turn us off. They're hard to deal with. They're hard to listen to other family members. But yet, we need still to pray for them. And we still need to allow somebody else to be able to go by there and to have somebody else concerned enough about their soul that they want to give their heart and life to Jesus. It's nothing like somebody else coming and talking to someone else as family. And even though it may be like there may be somebody that you can't reach, and if you call me and ask me, would I go by and see them? Yeah, I'll go by and see them, but I can't go alone. I can't go and I won't go alone. The Bible plainly teaches us that. We must not go alone. In the day and time that we're living today, that's all people are waiting for. They're waiting for that instant. They're waiting for that time that if he preaches down to that church, if he comes by and sees me, and if he's by himself, he's got his word against my word and my word against his. Who you think the people of today is going to believe? They're not going to believe a preacher. They're not. before it's too late. In Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20, it says, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. The harvest is ripe back there right now. It's ripe. It's ripe. It's done come to the point that if it stays on the vine too long, what's it going to do? It's going to rot away. That right there tells me one thing. The harvest is ripe for us to go and share the word and allow the seed that we have be planted within the individual's heart. Where if they go out, if they do something wrong, then they'll be reminded they can go back where the seed was planted. Where that seed was planted. Today is a day of salvation. And we must trust the Lord Jesus Christ that He would use us in many ways. This week, this upcoming week, it's Jubilee Week, which in the Bible represents 50 years. But I believe that the Lord laid it on my heart around May or June of last year. And I said, you know, the preachers in our area, you can't get them to come around. You can't get them to want to do anything together. They don't want to support each other. Their church don't want to support our church, and our church don't seem like maybe we don't want to support them, but they don't want to support each other. Well, we're in the same business. And the business that we're in is building up the kingdom of God. And that's what we hit. That's the reason I'm here. And that's the reason that you are here. Yes, you want to see more people in church. I would love to see more people in the church. I don't know why God has not allowed it. God does. So we don't need to worry about things like that. We need to leave that in the hands of God. And as we leave it in the hands of God, then we will come in here and we'll be surprised. One Sunday, we'll have people just come in. You may not have, we'll have three or four, maybe a couple of families come in, or one family come in. They'll come in. Next month, may have one or two more families come in. We don't know. We do not know what God has in mind for this church. But I do know one thing that He does not have in mind. God does not have in mind of us going out the side door and making sure all the other doors in the church is locked. And putting a sign on the door. And it says, church, Faith Baptist Church just had its last service. God, that's not in God's mind. God don't want that to happen. And it's not going to happen. As long as God don't want it to happen, it's not going to happen. And I thank the Lord for you that are here. Because you are the faithful ones. You're the one that really, when it comes down to when when the rubber meets the road, you're going to be here. Why? It's not because of your love for me. And it's not because of your love for somebody else in the church. It's because of your love for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. And this week, the Lord, I believe, is going to do something. And He's going to bring churches together. If the churches don't come together, it's not because that's not my prayer. And it's not because that's not God's prayer. I thank the Lord Jesus that He prays for me every day. And I thank you also for praying for me. But one thing about it, you can always remember on the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's always praying for us. Because He says over I think it's Luke chapter 22, I believe it is, down in there, that He is talking to Simon Peter. And He's saying, Simon, Satan has come to me. And when he's come to me, he's asked me that he wants to have you. He wants to sift you. In other words, what the Lord is saying to God, I believe, says, I want to see if I can separate Peter from the Word of God. I want to see if I can't convince Peter that he don't need the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord sifts us every day, because He tells us every day, hey, in the things what we do, He tells me all the time, He says, you don't need to read the book. I said, God, I need to read it now. Whether you give me something out of it, I said, that's up to you. I said, but I need to read the book. But Satan don't want me to. But then, after God says, Satan, says, you can have Simon. I'll let you have him right now. But then Simon says, I can imagine what Simon said, because you know Simon, he was an individual that he was a loud mouth. And I can imagine what he said. But Satan was trying to sift him from the other people. He was trying to sift him from the other followers. That's what he's trying to do to us. Oh yes, he will pick out one that's in the church that's weak in the faith. But yet, the Lord Jesus tells Simon, says, Simon, really, you don't have to worry. Don't worry about it. I give Satan permission. But Simon, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you that you will not fall into his trap. And that's the same thing he's doing today. He's praying for us that we won't fall into the devil's trap, because that's what the devil wants. As Brother Bill comes, as everyone stand this morning, I think really where we're going to have one verse of a song, and then I think it would be appropriate if we just close out the service and just coming this morning, if the Lord speaks to your heart about coming, come and pray for the Jubilee that we're going to have a great time. Just like Brother J.D. Walker told me the other day. He said, well, I'm coming down there. He said, now, whether you going to be there or not, he says, I'm coming. And he said, I'm going to start it out. And he said, I'm going to shout it out. He said, I'm going to be completely hoarse time I get through the week. I said, well, you come on, brother. But all right.